The information presented on this program is not intended to take the place of your personal physician's advice and is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Discuss this information with your own physician or healthcare provider to determine what is right for you. Welcome to Sanitas at sanitasradio.com, because your health and longevity should not be classified information. And now, here's your host, Mel Fabregas.
Greetings to everyone around the world, and a warm welcome to another edition of Sanitas at sanitasradio.com. I'm your host, Mel Fabregas, and I sincerely thank you for joining me once again. And to listen to tonight's full interview and all of our material, all you need to do is subscribe by going to sanitasradio.com. And if you would like to write to me, would like to be a guest on this radio program, or would like to submit a guest suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. Just go to our website and click on the contact link. And like us on Facebook. What if I told you there is a force found in nature that can provide you with a feeling of well-being, energize you, and let you sleep better, relieve your allergies, increase your ability to concentrate, and cheer you up? Sounds crazy, right? This force exists, but it's something that you cannot get from a bottle of prescription drugs. While the pharmaceutical industry certainly has a wide variety of pills to offer those afflicted with health conditions, the problem is that most of these options are expensive and associated with potentially dangerous side effects. While millions, if not billions, of dollars have been spent in the marketing of these problematic options, it has been a simple, natural, low-cost remedy available that may be beneficial in the treatment of a handful of everyday health issues and with no side effects. This form of therapy has been observed and studied for over 100 years. But chances are, you have not heard of it. And if you have heard of it, you may not think it works. Tonight's special guest is Dr. Earl Mindell, a registered pharmacist, master herbalist, and college educator. He is also an award-winning author of over 20 best-selling books, including Earl Mindell's Vitamin Bible, which has sold over 11 million copies worldwide. Dr. Mindell was inducted into the California Pharmacists Association's Hall of Fame in 2007 and was awarded the President's Citation of Exemplary for Exemplary Service from Vassar University in 2012. He is on the board of directors of the California College of Natural Medicine and serves on the Dean's Professional Advisory Group School of Pharmacy at Chapman University. In addition to being a highly sought-after lecturer, he has appeared on numerous TV shows such as Good Morning America and The Late Show with David Letterman. His latest book is the focus of tonight's interview and is titled The Happiness Effect: The Positive Benefits of Negative Ions. Dr. Earl Mindell joins us directly from Beverly Hills, California. Hello, Dr. Mindell, and welcome to Sanitas.
Thank you, Mel. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And Dr. Mindell, I have to ask you, why do you think that so many doctors, first of all, view the use of nutrition? Because I know you discussed nutrition before we begin with negative ions. Why so many doctors view the use of nutrition to heal the body as some sort of alternative medicine?
Well, I think you have to really go back to the training. I mean, I look at it as the physicians, medical people, their temple is the hospital, right? That's where they learn basically their medicine. And in the hospital, you have the glory things or the operations. The next people down are the nurses. And then in the basement or somewhere down there is where the food is prepared. So food is not very important to them. In fact, if you check into your average hospital, most people say they'll come out malnourished because of the terrible food. So health and nutrition is really not that important. And they tell me that they don't have time to worry about healthy people. They have to try to get sick people well. And I think that's exactly opposite. In fact, we have what we call health insurance in this country. It's really sickness insurance. It has nothing to do with health whatsoever. And I think if we really were to focus on wellness and teaching the population how to take care of themselves, we could close half the hospitals in the country because we won't need them and save about $1.5 trillion. That's not million. It's not billion. That's $1 trillion in unnecessary sickness costs. How do you like that one?
That's unbelievable, but it's all about the revenue stream. And there are plenty of studies that have demonstrated the protective effect of good nutrition.
Yes.
And our medical system is rooted in the belief that medication is the only means of relief for the most common health ailment. Now, you are also a registered pharmacist.
Correct.
And you're speaking against the herd, which I deem to be very brave.
Well, I'm not speaking against the herd. I'm saying that the unnecessary use of drugs, I don't think it should be the first thing we go to. It's like shooting a mouse with an elephant gun.
Right.
That's the whole problem. You have to remember, once again, the temple that medical people learn is basically a drug factory. I mean, the average person that goes into a hospital will get 10 or 12 drugs during the day.
But that's the toolbox that, for example, allopathic medicine, that's the toolbox that's provided to doctors. And how much nutrition in terms of credit hours do they take in medical school?
It all depends. Some zero. In fact, one school said that their lunch is their training. nutrition. So it's very limited. I mean, it's not their fault. I mean, it's just that is not accepted medical training. Accepted medical training is drugs, surgery, and psychiatry. And that's it. Basically, they don't have time for other things like that. And it's too bad because we do know that this human body that we're all connected to is an amazing machine. I mean, it's a we don't even know why it works, let alone why it doesn't work. We don't know why it does work and why it lasts for, in the United States, about 78, 79 years on the average. And we think that very shortly, if we really took as good care of our body as we do our dogs, cats, automobiles, rose bushes, and back lawns, we live to be 120, but in good shape. I mean, just living an extra year or so, being put away in a some kind of convalescent hospital or connected to some IV drip is really not what you want. And that's the problem, that we don't really prioritize wellness, and we really should.
It's funny that you bring up the example of a car, how we take care of our cars. You know, sometimes we get that little light for whatever reason, whatever part of the engine is not working properly. And we immediately take the car to the mechanic to be addressed. But in terms of our bodies, it's almost as if we see that light in our bodies and we want to cut the cable that lights up the light.
Well, here's a better one. Next time you're in your local grocery store, one of these big supermarkets, check out the dog and cat food. Now, you'll see that there's all different grades, but the better grade of, and they advertise on television too, and whatever, the finest ingredients. I don't see too many dogs smoking cigarettes or drinking beer. You know, so it was really kind of interesting that we know that when we give a dog or cat proper nutrition, their eyes shine, their coat is nice and shiny, and they're healthy. Well, it's no different than us. We were not meant to be eating this type of what I call the standard American diet, or SAD. It's more like pathetic. I also call it the Twinkie Ding Dong Donut Pizza Prozac Pepsi Paxil Prestique Diet. Those are some of the drugs that you'll be taking if you continue on the standard American diet.
I'm looking at the incredible list of books that you have written here, and my goodness, I was just becoming aware of that today, for which I congratulate you. But now you have written this book, The Happiness Effect, The Positive Benefits of Negative Ions. To the audience that may not know what this means, what are negative ions, and why did you write a book on negative ions?
Okay, well, here's an interesting thing. Back in the 80s, there was a lot of talk and publicity about these negative ions. They really didn't call them that, but they were air purifiers, etc. Then they kind of went out of style. And a couple years ago, my wife and I were watching a television show called The Shark Tank. It's on ABC, I think it is.
Sure.
And then they have these entrepreneurs that come in with different concepts looking for money. They had this young guy came in and talked about negative ion bands, wristbands that you wear. And Mark Cuban, one of the sharks, just eviscerated the guy because he had no real scientific evidence. And there is all kinds of scientific evidence, but he was very ill-prepared to really show what they're all about. But you see, that's how I became interested. So I started to do some research, and I found some interesting things. And you're right, over 100 years ago, in fact, 140 years ago, there was a man by the name of Nikola Tesla. He's not a car, because I get that all the time. People
right.
say, isn't that the Tesla? Yeah, the Tesla car was named after him.
That's right.
Because he was one of the early pioneers of electricity. Well, anyway, with all his electricity work, he found that when electricity was lightning or man-made high electricity, that people's mood changed, they felt better, even crops grew better. So that's where it all came from. This, imagine in 1900, that's 116 years ago, he published an article in a very well-known magazine, a scientific magazine, on the benefits of these negative ions. In fact, they call them the vitamins of the air. They really didn't know very much about them. So that's how I became interested in the subject. Basically, what they are, really simple, electricity flows through your body, through your nervous system, allowing your heart to beat, your skin to feel, and your brain to think. Well, the atoms are the tiniest particles in everything we know. Example like a Lego set. Well, one Lego is an atom. Two Legos is a molecule. And in the molecule is a nucleus at the center of this atom, consisting of protons, which are positively charged, and neurons, which have no charge. Well, electrons rotate around this atom. When the particles are unbalanced, and an ion occurs positive, and negative ions occur naturally. So the more protons than electrons gives you a positive charge, the more electrons and protons, negative charge. I know it's a little bit much for people to understand, but it's very basic. In fact, we know that people say, well, how are these positive ions, which are deleterious, how are they produced? The hot desert winds in Southern California, we call them Santa Anas.
That's right.
Western Canada, they call them Chinooks. In different parts of the world, there's different names for them. Cell phones and radio, TV transmitters, cell towers and laptops and air conditioners and insulation keeps these negative ions out of a building, but makes it high in these positive ions. Also, direct current power lines, which, by the way, was Edison's invention. He was in complete opposition to Tesla. Tesla said that alternating current was the way to go, and of course, Tesla was right. Well, anyway, if you are in a typical environment, and let's be realistic, most of us spend most of our time indoors in an artificial environment. We don't open the windows anymore, especially in offices, etc. We have air conditioners on if it's hot. We have heat on if it's cold. Well, anyway, if you have an excess amount of positive ions, it can cause emotional distress. Can induce problematic metabolic changes. It can cause fatigue and even interfere with functions of your immune system. It's too bad that, you go from your home that's pretty well artificially controlled to a car, and almost everybody has either an air conditioner or heater in the car. Then we go to an office, and if you notice many of these new buildings now, you can't open a window. I mean, it's all hermetically sealed. It's for ecology efficient. So I'd say 95% of our life is spent in an environment that is conducive to a high amount of positive ions, which are deleterious, and we don't get enough negative ions. Now you might say, well, where do you get these negative ions from? Well, see, the body produces positive and negative ions, but unfortunately, we're getting too many of the positive ones. Well, here's an example. What do you like to take, or how do you feel when you take a shower?
Great.
You feel what?
Energized.
Energized, a good mood, etc.
Right.
Right? Well, guess what? That running water, that high volume water, produces negative ions.
Like wow. A river. Like a river, right?
Well, not a river, but waves. Oh, a fast running river. Waves and lightning strike and waterfalls. They're all good sources to produce negative ions. That's why people like to go down to the beaches and to the ocean and sit there and by the watching the waves, or because they're energized. Well, the same thing with taking a shower. And how about this one? This is going to really surprise people. Toyota Motor Company. You've heard of them, right?
Oh yeah, you told me that story before we engaged. Tell us the story.
Well, they have the number one selling automobile in America is called a Toyota Corolla, right? Number one, biggest seller. In there since 2012.
Is it the Corolla or the Camry?
You might be right. Toyota, I think it's Corolla, whatever. Whatever the name of their.
Okay.
I'm not up to date at all their automobiles. But anyway, their best-selling car that Toyota has a negative ion generator in the motor. Wow. Maybe that's why it's the best-selling car. And the a Taiwanese laptop company called ASUS brand, they include a negative ion generator in their computers. And, of course, Japan has used negative ion generators for centuries. And for many years. And the Russians have put the negative ion machines in their submarines. Let's think about it. You're put into a submarine, you might be under that environment for
months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it helps with the mood, etc. In fact, just to show you how up-to-date this subject is, today I got one of these catalogs from a pretty well-known company, and they have two ads. One is called a filterless air purifier, and it says that it produces billions of negative ions. And the other one, it's a rechargeable personal air purifier. You actually wear it around your neck. I don't know if you've seen them, but sometimes in an airplane, people are wearing them. It says that it keeps all the bacteria, viruses, and molds, and produces billions of negative ions.
It's so interesting you're saying this, because back in 99 or 2000, I have a restaurant. And I remember this is the time before when you could actually smoke at the bar. And I remember one of our good friends, a customer, who happened to be a professor of pharmacology at the University of Arizona. He had a business also. And he told me, you know what, you need to buy a air filter ionizer for the bar. And I bought one, and I bought one for myself or for home. And he also gave me this little, as you said, this thing that you wear around your neck when you traveled. And back in those times, if he told me to look into negative ions, I bought them because he was a friend. But I would probably say, this is simple quackery. However, I found modalities that even alternative medicine may really, you know, found that, you know, they may not believe. Allopathic medicine, of course, for example, grounding. I thought grounding was another piece of quackery until I tested it myself. I found absolutely great benefits. I use it every day, and I look forward to learning the science behind negative ions. But now that I have those machines at home in a closet, I'm going to bring them out again.
Well, you know, it's nothing new, by the way. When the EKG machine, electrocardiogram machine, came from Germany, they considered it quackery, electricity, you know, nonsense, and etc. And how about go back to the days of Louis Pasteur, who was not a physician, by the way, but he said that on your body.
Repeat that, because I lost you for 2 seconds.
It's Louis Pasteur, sure. Right? Who was not a physician, but way back when he said, little things you can't see cause infections, and they should wash their hands before operations, etc. They said, what are you, crazy? What are you talking about? So they don't always accept things too quickly. But my feeling is that you as an individual have got to take the responsibility of your health in your own hands. If you're sick, run for help. But what do you do when you're healthy and you're well and you want to keep well? Do you wait until you get sick? No, that's not the way it should be. It should be the other way around.
I always say you are responsible for your own health. Now, there are hundreds of websites devoted to negative ions. How do you discern truth from fiction?
Well, it's not so much that. I mean, in the book, Happiness Effect, I talk about that you can get the machines that are available. I wear a bracelet that has a couple of minerals. One is tourmaline, amethyst, and germanium. That when it actually contacts the skin, it produces negative ions. So, and I do list it in the book about the different companies that produce this these bracelets. Or, hey, I've told people, if you're under a lot of stress, buy one of those little, and they have them. It's like a little waterfall thing that you can put on your desk. Or take a shower a couple of times a day. Whatever you have to do to relax and get this mood. Because what it does, basically, the benefits of negative ions, and you kind of went over it quickly, the cognitive performance, and there's all kinds of research on that, athletic performance, mood. You know that 10% of the U.S. population actually suffers from one type of mood disorder. All these drugs that are used for anti-anxiety, etc. Why not try something like this? Maybe you could. Who knows? It could benefit everyone. And also, people with the so-called SAD, which is a seasonal
allergy.
Right. Well, it happens mostly in areas. I remember I did a tour of Upper New York State, and in the winter, and they had special lights in the stores because people were not getting enough sunlight. So, but we know that in the summer, that a depression is caused more in the winter than in the summer, and of course. Summer air is higher in negative ions compared to winter air. That's why people feel better in the summer than a winter. And back in 2006, there was 99 adults with this SAD situation were treated, and the American Journal of Psychiatry showed the negative ion generators with high flow rates of negative ions produced positive outcomes. Wow. If you notice also, TV commercials, when they advertise relaxation or meditation programs, they usually feature outdoor activities, right? Because just fresh air is higher in negative ions than positive ions.
And it's interesting, we're talking about mood disorders and depression, and I recently had a conversation with Dr. David Perlmutter, and he told me that 10% of our happy hormone serotonin is produced in the brain, and 90% is produced in our gut, in our microbiome. So I always ask, and I know you deal with vitamins and nutrition, herbs, and so on. I always say, if this is happening, why aren't we looking into nutrition and dietary changes as opposed to just basically prescribing antidepressant medication?
Well, real simple. Who's in control of the situation? Right now, the big pharma are in control. They have control of the media, too, because they are the number one advertisers on media. So that's what they're going to promote. And it's interesting you mentioned about serotonin, because increase negative ions decrease serotonin levels. Wow. You see how it all fits in. And this was a study done 1980. In fact, 1986, sleep disorders. 60% of Americans have trouble sleeping and 30% have insomnia. And there was at least three studies about that with negative ions. And how about this weight loss? You see, high stress and anxiety leads to weight loss. Negative ions decrease stress by decreasing serotonin levels in the bloodstream. Amazing, huh?
Incredible. And you say you have found an abundance of positive scientific research regarding negative ions. If that is what you read is true, why haven't we seen the many health benefits of negative ions become more common knowledge instead of, you know, holding the dishonorable title again of quack medicine?
Well, once again, it's not accepted medical procedure. And if you talk to a typical medical physician who knows nothing about this, they'll say, well, I've never seen it in any medical journal. I don't know anything about it. And they're right. They haven't seen it. But if you really want to see research and what I call pure research, you go on to the web. It's pub, P-U-B, med, M-E-D, .gov. That's publicmedicine.gov, pubmed.gov, and there'll be a spot there that you just type in negative ions, and you'll see all kinds of research, and from all over the world, too. And they keep it up to date. I mean, any new published research is put into pubmed.gov. So it's all there. It's all available. But once again, it's not so-called accepted medical procedure.
Well, could we say that accepted medical procedures or not accepted medical procedure equals not revenue-oriented?
Oh, absolutely. No, it's hey, I always say follow the money. I mean, follow the money, and you'll see that that's where right now in the United States, especially with the so-called the new I love the term health insurance. Actually, I call it negative insurance. It's more conducive to going to medical doctors. And you're going to love this one. You know what MD stands for today?
Go ahead.
More drugs. It's too bad. I mean, it's really too bad. It's not their fault. Once again, it's not their fault. When I graduated in pharmacy, I thought that if you weren't taking drugs, there was something wrong with you. See, that's the way we were taught, that everybody should be on something. And the price of these drugs today is beyond belief.
Now, what changed you? I'm curious, because you obviously... Okay. Yeah, what changed you?
Well, you got to go back a long way. Another pharmacist and I opened a long-houred pharmacy. It was open from 9 in the morning until midnight, 7 days a week. And then we took night calls from midnight to 9. So on a typical, of course, I was a lot younger, naturally. On a typical weekend, I'd work 15 hours a day. He'd take off, of course, because next weekend was his turn. And then I'd get two or three calls in the evening, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So I was in terrible shape. I mean, really was. And he seemed to be able to overcome the stress of what we were doing better than I could. I said, you know, what's your secret? He says, I take vitamins. And all of a sudden, the old light bulb went on, because my mother would always give my father and I a multiple vitamin that she kept in the refrigerator. And by the way, that's the worst place you can keep vitamins, because that builds up moisture. And for goodness sake, take that cotton, whatever it is, out of the bottle, because that's only there to prevent the tablets from breaking when they're shipped, because that is a great source of moisture.
Really?
And that's how it all happened. We started to... I started taking what he was taking. We gave people starter samples of vitamins. They felt better. It was amazing, and that's really what turned me on. That was actually my first book that I did research for my PhD. It was called The Vitamin Bible, and it's still around. It's been updated about 5 times now, called The New Vitamin Bible. It sold over 11 million copies worldwide in 34 languages.
That's incredible. I hope in the future, I'd like to bring you back to discuss that book, because we are avid vitamin people and our listeners too. And I'm glad you had that situation with your partner regarding vitamins, because that obviously woke you up and you wrote that book, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I did all kinds of research. I went back and got a PhD in nutrition. But, you know, it's interesting, and it's so pathetic that there's such a lack of nutrients in our diet. I mean, even the government makes the producers of, say, the cow's milk. If you look at a container of cow's milk, you'll see that they add vitamins A and D and even protein, because by the time they process it, nothing's left. And they'll add, there's one of the B vitamins called folic acid, or folate, which is the natural form, is added to formulas because pregnant women were so deficient in this folate that it was leading to childhood disease called spina bifida. So we're not getting the nutrients we need in our diet. We're getting a lot of fat, we're getting a lot of salt, we're getting a lot of sugar and processed carbohydrates, but we're not really getting enough nutrients. So I think it's foolish not to take a supplement on a daily basis. And here's something else that, you know, I'm a great student of history. I think that if we don't learn from the mistakes or the things that were well known back then, we'll just make the same stupid mistakes. Well, when the United States entered the war in 1941, December 7th, remember when they bombed Pearl
Sure.
Harbor? Okay. Well, we were really caught with our pants down. I mean, we had to really start to basically get in gear and start manufacturing bullets and guns and planes and tanks and whatever, right? All the ammunition. So I think people have seen where they were selling war bonds for victory. Well, they also came out with something that was interesting because, of course, the women were the ones that were in the factories, because naturally the men
were fighting.
Were fighting. So they came out with a program called Vitamins for Victory. Wow. The U.S. government gave all the workers a vitamin supplement because they knew that they would have less sick days and be more efficient at their work. And now, 70 years later, we're eating Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and donuts. In fact, many of the cereals that we're eating, well, that they feed the children, you're better off to eat the box. It's higher in fiber. I mean, it's pathetic.
But isn't it interesting that what you said about the war, for example, we were doing things there, for example, giving vitamins, which is something that they don't advocate that much publicly anymore. They had a hemp for victory at the time, and then they outlawed it again because they said we can't have it, when in fact the ropes were being built much better, clothing, and you name it. This could revive the total economy now if we had to, not to derail from our topic, but you know what I mean.
Well, actually, it's interesting because I just talked to my publisher today. I want to do a book on that exactly because you're right. There was a man by the name of George Washington. I think he was our first president. And another one by the name of Thomas Jefferson. He was pretty important as well. They actually grew hemp for rope, for clothing, etc. Henry Ford built a car out of hemp.
Almost indestructible.
Indestructible. So, you know, that's a whole other subject, but it's true that, you see, here's a good example, something that was known for ever and just fell out of grace because you have to go into the Harrison Narcotic Act and they dumped it all together. And it's coming back bigger than ever. But that's the same thing with this negative ion thing. It's nothing new. I mean, there's, like you say, back in the 90s, you had they might have called it an air purifier, that if you looked at it, it says it produces negative ions. And by the way, when you, if you're going to buy a air purifier, negative ion, if you make sure it is not a ozone producing
right.
machine, because ozone will make, it helps against the smell, et cetera, but it really doesn't do what negative ions. And they're readily available. The machines are some of these big box stores. They all have them. And say I have a whole chapter in the book about bracelets where you can also order bracelets as well. So here's something that, you know, you do a lot of, after a while, you don't even know you're wearing it. And all of a sudden people say, God, you know, your mood is much better. You don't flare up as often. You're calmer, et cetera. And that's really what it's all about. And in today's, do I have to tell you how much anxiety and how much stress we have? I mean, all we have to do is watch television, and if it isn't the politicians yelling at each other, it's somebody shooting someone. I mean, almost every day there's shootings. It's really amazing how things have changed in the last 30 or 40 years. I mean, when I went to school, in university, we didn't have to worry about shooters or, in fact, there was just a shooting today in Los Angeles at the UCLA.
Yeah.
And they were saying that they're training the students of what to do in case of a shooter on campus. So we're living in a stressful society, environment, and to help us overcome this, here's a simple thing that we can do to basically, I mean, it's not going to take away stress, but it'll definitely help the body cope with it much better.
We had a guest on this radio program who he had a website called Tom Stones, and he sold basically stones all the time. Tom Benedict, by the way, folks, in case you didn't know, he passed away a few months ago. His wife told me, but he sent me a bag full of stones, and he gave me tourmaline. And he said, whenever you're interviewing people, keep that in your hand and tell me how you feel. And I thought, oh,
right.
This is quackery again, right? But then I started feeling much, much calmer. And I told them that's how I feel. And now you're telling me that these bracelets
tourmaline,
are... Yeah.
Amethyst and germanium are these so-called rare earths that are put into the bands. They're impregnated into the bands. And when they touch the skin, they produce negative ions. So there is all kinds of research on it. But once again, you're up against the establishment that considers anything that isn't a drug, not accepted medical procedure.
And this story about RDA, the recommended dietary allowance, when I read most mainstream vitamins and I see how much they're saying that we need, is this a joke or they really mean that low?
Well, first of all, now it's called a daily value. They keep changing it all the time. You see, here's what happens, what people don't understand. If that number is a little higher, 0.1, 0.2, or 1 or 2 milligrams, every governmental agency in the country must adhere to this minimum type thing. So every prison, every jail, every governmental, so they keep it down as low as possible. But I don't want to live a minimum daily requirement. I want to live a maximum daily
requirement. Or optimum.
I want to be healthy. Optimal is even better. You're right. And I think that's the difference, really, that we're talking about here. We're talking about optimal health instead of people say, well, you know, I don't feel too great, but I'm not sick yet. So I'll wait until I get sick. That's not it. You got to work at being healthy. If you want to be sick, don't worry about a thing. It's going to happen. In fact, sit down and watch commercial television one night. All these diseases and conditions that they make up come out at you. And at the end of the day, you'll say, oh, my goodness, it's all over for me. I got everything.
Now, what's your take on this? Because I did some research recently with another guest, and I was wondering, because in Europe, I believe they don't have this direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical commercials on TV. I think it's only two countries, New Zealand
Correct.
And the United States, right?
United States and New
right.
Zealand are the only two countries. I'm originally from Canada, so I know a little bit about the Canadian situation. Canada gets American television, so they get the wonderful benefits of these drugs too. But I love those commercials, by the way, because at the end of the commercial, if they tell
disclaimer.
You what the drug does, it's got to give you some of the principal side effects. If they gave you all the side effects, you wouldn't have time for the commercials.
That's why they accelerate the voices.
Exactly. But there's actually three different commercials. There's one commercial that tells you the name of the drug and what the what it does. It doesn't have to give you the some of the side effects. Then there's another commercial that it's called branding. They'll just give you the name of a drug, but they don't say what it's for. Then about two or three commercials later, it'll come out with what it's for. And then there's the, I call it the disease condition, or the condition. It'll tell you about a condition, say, ask your doctor about, you know, blah, blah. And then there's a fourth one, and this is the sneakiest one. A lot of people don't know this. You're going to be on your computer. All of a sudden, you're going to see a pop-up ad for a drug. I don't know if you've had that experience yet. It's getting.
I used to, not anymore, because I block them.
Okay, well, but if you don't, they'll pop up. And the interesting thing is, if it comes on the net, they don't have to tell you the side effects unless you click onto a little box underneath for more information.
And why is that? Because like that the FAA has no jurisdiction over it?
I'm not exactly sure why, but that's a loophole in the law. Saying
I'm sorry, the FCC. I meant the FCC.
FCC, yeah. It's a loophole in the regulations saying that you don't have to tell them the side effects unless they click on for more information. So you're being bombarded. I mean, I don't see it as much as it used to, but for a while, all these giant type of ads, you know, from when you're driving the car, you see these giant, you know, I don't see it as much as it used to, but it's everywhere. I mean, commercial television is loaded with all these drug ads, and I don't think you're going to see, hey, go to the ocean and sit and walk by the waves or go to a waterfall or open up the windows and get some fresh air or take a shower. I don't think you're going to see that.
Not at all. And also, when you look at a supermarket, for example, you were mentioning, if you see you know, some multivitamins, look at Pfizer. I don't mean to name names. So you start with the letter C. And you look at the RDA, so low, but at the same time, and these synthetic?
They're all synthetic, yeah. Well, see, you'll find that the drug companies, et cetera, will only produce synthetic things because then they are exactly the same from batch to batch. They'll use artificial colors and flavors and preservatives so that they have a long shelf life and they look exactly the same because if in pharmacy, if you give someone a prescription, it's a tablet, and the next time it comes out, it's a capsule, they go crazy. They think there's something, you know, you're trying to poison them or something. So they're exactly the same, and the only way to do that is to produce a synthetic version. Of course, it's also cheaper to produce the synthetic versions than it is the natural form.
Because they can't patent the natural, if it's natural. But my point about this is, if you have synthetic compounds, isn't our body designed to reject any foreign antigens, and in reality, those synthetic compounds don't really do that much, and bioavailability is almost nothing.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mention that because we don't know all the long term effects, but we do know this, that during the Vietnam War, I mean, I don't like to, it was just Memorial Day not long ago, but during the Vietnam War, the Vietnamese casualties, the bodies, started to really break up in just a matter of hours, sometimes even a day. The American casualties, 7 to 10 days, because there was enough preservatives in their bloodstream from all the artificial things they're getting. And if you look at some of those synthetic formulas, you'll see it. They all have artificial color and flavors or red preservatives, all of them.
That's incredible. And let me issue a disclaimer regarding negative ions, folks. Dr. Mindell will provide, and he's providing some guidelines regarding the negative ions and the devices, but you should always do your homework before buying any product that may affect your health, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, my feeling is you've got to educate yourself. That's where I write books, because I think that we are sickness experts in this country. You know exactly what to do if you're sick. You call 911. The boys come with the stretcher, or you go to your ER room, or now they have all these medical whatever places where you go. So we know exactly what to do when we're sick, but when you're healthy, I don't know what to do. You know, I just have to wait until I'm sick, and it's too bad, because I look at it this way: the last years of your life, you're going to pay for all the problems that you had earlier, or all the things you didn't do. And there's no we should. This is kind of funny, but we should die healthy. Die of natural causes.
Long age.
And it's not happening. And we're not dying of natural causes. I mean, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, for instance, is completely, type 2 diabetes is completely out of control. And it's getting younger and younger. They used to call it, juvenile diabetes. They don't call it that. They call it type 2 because it's getting, younger. Well, it's a type 1 diabetes is a completely different disease, but type 2 is out of control because people are overweight, they're obese, and that's one of the principal reasons that many of these problems occur as we get older.
Not to make excuses for those who are obese in the United States, and believe me, folks, go to any retail store and you know a preponderance of them. But my question is, could it be that our soil and our food is so devoid of real nutrients that our bodies are always craving for more, more, more?
Well, it's not only that they're craving, but we're getting a tremendous amount of food that has very little nutrition. So we're eating way too much of the wrong things. I feel that if we were to get the proper nutrition, that we wouldn't have to eat these huge servings. I mean, my wife and I, if we go to a restaurant, we'll divide entree because they're massive. I mean, the amount of food that they give is unbelievable. We believe it or not, the United States is the most overweight nation of any size in the world. Number one.
Yeah, that I believe. Now, not to derail again, because I'm such a believer, actually not a believer, I'm a knower of the benefits of grounding or earthing, I have to ask you this. Is there a correlation between grounding and negative ions?
Well, think about it. You're grounding. Where are you, outside or are you inside?
Well, inside, because now I have the mat.
But usually people who are grounded
are outdoors. Oh, I see. Yes,
outdoors.
Yes, right.
Outdoor, once again, fresh air is much higher in negative ions than a synthetic type of environment that we live in. So whatever you can do to get out there and, I tell people, go take a walk, do anything to get some fresh air because we're just not getting it. We're not getting enough of these negative ions in our body.
Well, I understand the science behind grounding now, but we have disconnected ourselves from that force ever since leather shoe soles were replaced with plastic soles. And one must touch the ground, running water, the ocean, to cite a few examples. But how do you access negative ions in order to experience the health benefits?
Well, once again, if you live in Hawaii, there's no problem. If you live in upper New York State, if you go to the Niagara Falls, you'll get a million negative ions per it's measured amounts. So the highest amount of negative ion production is Niagara Falls, but lightning strikes. I mean, you don't want to get too close to lightning, but lightning strikes, waterfalls are wonderful sources. Waves of the ocean are a wonderful source of, and fresh air is a wonderful source of negative ions. I mean, my mother used to tell us, you know, as I say, I was brought up in Canada, in the middle of the country. It gets pretty nippy there in the winter. And she would open up the windows. I said, what are you doing? We're freezing. She says, you've got to have fresh air. And I mean, people knew this forever. Nothing new. Nothing new at all.
And conversely, my grandmother used to say as a kid, get out of the wind. Get out of the wind. You're going to get a cold. And I wonder if that urban legend is true after all.
Well, when you say the wind, actually, it has nothing to do with colds and viruses. I mean, the common cold was unknown among the Eskimos. How do you like that? So cold weather has nothing to do with, although the reason that people do have more colds and flu in the winter is because
lack of vitamin D3.
Well, not only vitamin D, but also moisture. It's usually very dry when you have the heat on. And talking about vitamin D, which, you know, I've been a great proponent of for 40-odd years, we were given halibut liver oil, a spoonful on our way to school.
Yep.
So run to school faster because it was so horrible tasting. But
yep,
they knew that it had a source of vitamin A and D. And now, of course, we're a little more sophisticated. So we found that that fish oil is a source of omega-3 fatty acids, which are wonderful, very healthy type things. I take 1,000 milligram, a couple capsules a day myself of the omega-3.
I remember Dad giving us that cut liver oil, and he hated the taste, but he
it's horrible. I mean, it was horrible, but they knew that in the winter when, you know, we'd get up in the morning, and it was dark, and we'd go to school and come home from school, it was dark, so you got very little sunshine. And basically, sunshine with the cholesterol in the bloodstream produces vitamin D, which, by the way, is a hormone. It's not a vitamin. If it came out today as a new entity, vitamin D3 would, and that's a natural form of it, by the way. When you're buying it, make sure you look for vitamin D3. It's a hormone. I take 5,000 units a day. Most people probably, the physicians now are starting to prescribe it 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams a day.
5,000. Okay, let me write it down because I do take it every day, but 5,000. Okay. Now you briefly.
So you build up a certain level in the bloodstream, and by taking it every day, it just keeps that blood level up. And vitamin D has wonderful, wonderful attributes. I mean, your immune system. Look up, let's say the new Vitamin Bible has all the research on vitamin D. And we're learning more and more about it. And they've known about that for, I hate to tell you, at least 100 years.
You briefly mentioned something very important. In the winter, I live in Arizona, and I always have a humidifier. And the reason for that is because I found that, as you said,
right,
when the weather is so dry, your mucous membranes become so dry that, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it because all the bacteria and the pathogens come through unimpeded because you don't have the mucous membranes to stop them?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's more conducive to a growth of organisms if it's the humidity is too low. So either it's either heat on, or that's most parts of the country, you know, they have to use heat. They don't live in Arizona or California the way we do,
right,
or even northern Arizona or northern California is much colder than the southern parts of the states. They usually heat the homes, and that dries out the air. So you should keep the humidity up to a certain level, yeah.
And I remember a conversation with Dr. Jerry Tennant a few years ago. He discussed activities that steal or donate electrons. You lose electrons in a lake, wind that hits you while you're riding a convertible, or a fan that blows in your, you know, air in your face. But he also said that, as you said, taking a shower, being at the ocean, or a moving river donates electrons. I guess he was referring to negative ions again, after all.
Right. Exactly. People don't really talk about it as a negative ion. See, because most of the time when you say negative, it sounds negative.
Negative connotation, right?
In this connotation, negative ions are the beneficial things. Positive ions are the detrimental part. So it's very interesting. It's very opposite of what most of us think. But it's so obvious to me that we should do everything we can. And you would think that the insurance companies and our wonderful government would be a great proponent of wellness, because it would save them so much money. But they, unfortunately, are controlled by the, shall we say, the sickness
industry.
Lobbyists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you say, for example, a cell phone, ionizing radiation, are these positive ions?
Yes, they produce more positive ions than negative. I mentioned the cell phones. I mentioned TV towers. I mentioned the so-called Santa Ana winds, or the Chinook winds, or different parts of the world, they call them different names. But in fact, usually when those winds occur, the suicide rate increases. Laptops, air conditioners, and most of the homes and the offices and buildings are so insulated, it keeps the negative ions out. Amazing. So we want to insulate our homes because it's less expensive, and we don't realize where it's actually detrimental. You go into a new building today and see if you can open a window.
You can't. No, not at all.
Impossible. They'll say, well, ecologically, it's not efficient.
And folks, we have to take our one and only break to separate both segments. But this is a fascinating interview, because I've been looking into negative ions for some time, and I wanted to have somebody to discuss the very topic, and I'm glad I found Dr. Errol Mindell. How can people buy The Happiness Effect and all your other books, Dr. Mindell?
Well, actually, you know, there's very few bookstores left, so right. I tell people, go on to the web. Barnes and Noble is one of the book chains. They have a website, but Amazon, AMAZON.com, Amazon.com, you scroll to books, and just type my name in, Errol Mindell, M-I-N-D-E-L-L, and all my books come out in sometimes five or six different languages as well.
Excellent. Folks, don't go anywhere. Much more when we come back, and we'll continue discussing all of this with Dr. Errol Mindell. This is Mel Fabregas, and you are listening to Sanitas. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to the first segment of this very important Sanitas interview. If you enjoyed it and wish to listen to the rest, go to sanitasradio.com, click on Members or Subscribe, or tell someone else who will enjoy this and all our radio programs. If you are listening on YouTube, like, subscribe, and share it. Don't forget to visit the Sanitas store, where you can purchase pure organic sulfur, earthing and grounding products, supplements, our USB drive with all our shows, gift certificates, rebounders, and much more. Now, join me in the Sanitas member section to enjoy the rest. Thank you.